Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey guys, thanks for joining the show today. We're going to have a really fun conversation with Nancy Hartman. Nancy and her husband have worked with TCKs for many, many years. She graduated from Oklahoma Christian University in 1977 and now has been back there since 2002 working with students. They have three adult TCKs of their very own, and they also have some grandchildren. Two of those that are also considered TCKs. She's going to tell us a little bit more about that. They began their career in missions back in 1983 when they worked with several other families to do a church plant in Campbelltown, Australia. And they did that all the way through 2000. So I'm so excited for her to share. She's got many years of experience working with TCKs, being on the mission field herself. So I know we're going to learn so much. And I'm really excited to welcome you to the show, Nancy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So as I was looking over your survey that you filled out for us, we always ask that question, what's a crazy but true fact about you? And you once rode an ostrich in South Africa. So I was trying to picture that without knowing you. Tell us a little bit about what that was like. Was it hard to stay on the ostrich?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was with a group doing missionary care. So we went for a day outing with the missionaries. We went to this little place and they had these, they had the ostrich. I was the first one to volunteer. There was a weight limit and I was within the weight limit. So people encouraged me to do it. I had never seen it done because I was the first one that volunteered out of our group. I didn't know what I was in for. The ostrich had a hood on his head and there were three men who put me on the ostrich, helped me get on the ostrich. And then they pull the hood off and the ostrich just runs like it felt like 100 miles an hour. And there's kind of a corral that they had told me before the run started that they would yell at me because they were running behind the ostrich. So they were with me the whole time. They told me when it was time to get off to just fall back and they would catch me. And so they started yelling at me, fall back, and I had to trust them and I fell off and they caught me and it was hilarious. It was filmed and, you know, it didn't last very long, but it was a funny, 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 memorable experience.
Wow.
And the ostrich is huge. And the most surprising thing was that you hold on to the feathers. They feel like arms, you know, like they don't look like that. They obviously look like feathers because they are, but they felt like really, really strong arms. So that's what I was holding on to as this huge ostrich was running. It'd be interesting, and I don't know how much he weighed. But anyway, that's my story.
Wow.
That's one of the strangest things I've probably ever done.
That's really cool. Fun story. And wow, I mean, it's one thing to get on the ostrich and run, but a totally different thing to think about falling backwards. That takes a trust fall game to a whole nother level that a lot of youth play, right? Yeah. What, I mean, did you just immediately fall back or did you have to really make yourself? I mean, what?
I just remember, well, the ostrich was kind of running toward because we were in kind of a big corral. So he was kind of running toward a fence and all three of the men running behind us were, you know, yelling at me running. So yeah, I just did what they said. And I guess it took courage. I can't remember.
Yeah, I would think
so. I just
remember
it worked. And I remember thinking, it would have been easier. Two other people did it after me. It would have been easier, I think, the second time to know what to expect. Part of my experience was I had no idea what was about to happen. And so it was funny.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, really incredible story. I just would like to think about all the spiritual aspects that kind of relate to that. How God, you know, and I'm sure you're going to tell us about the journey. I mean, that God takes you on. You just don't know.
No,
you know, what that feels like just to fall into his arms and okay, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Never comes. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about how you and your husband were called to the mission field and what that was like in the early years.
From the time I was about 8 years old, I grew up in this very small congregation in a small town in western Oklahoma, and we had missionaries who came and spoke to our group when they came home from the mission field. And I decided when I was about 8 years old that that's what I wanted to do. I thought I would go to Africa or India, because that's the missionaries that I heard, that's where they were doing mission work. when I got to Oklahoma Christian, I was invited to go on with a campaign group to Australia. And my husband was also in that campaign group. And that's when we were introduced to the needs of people in Australia and just the need for churches there. So we then joined with three other families and went to graduate school. And then after graduate school, we went to Australia. And each of the team members came home at different times throughout that 18 years. We were the last ones to leave. So we ended up staying 18 years. And we had, our daughters were 3 years old and 1 year old when we moved there. And our son was born there. So it was a church plant, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. We love Australia. We love the Australian people and the culture. And it was a good experience working with our teammates. We're still really, really good friends with our teammates. People tell us that's unusual.
Yeah, I was about to say that's really good to hear.
Proud of that and blessed by that. We still get together twice a year on Australia Day and Anzac Day, two Australian holidays. Our mission team gets together and. So we feel really blessed that we got to do that. And we've also been able to go back to Australia almost every year since we moved back. We've been home, 20 years. I always have to stop and think about that. I guess 21 years, but, we take, university students back to Australia almost every year and work with churches there for about a month. So that's been a real blessing too, to be able to go back and see the people that became Christians and see their children and now their grandchildren and just see what God's doing with the church there. So we're still involved.
Yeah. Australia. I've never had the opportunity to go there, but my sister has. She said it was her favorite place in the whole world. She's been all over on the mission field, but how beautiful it is. But I was just talking to somebody the other day about Australia, and it's got like the most dangerous animals or insects or so many things. Right.
Yeah. But you know what? We lived there for, like I said, 18 years, and then we've been going back for 20 some years, and I've still yet to see one of those dangers. I've seen the redback spiders, which are dangerous. I've never seen one of the dangerous snakes ever. And we lived there and hiked and did all kinds of things. It's funny that they're known for that because you can live there a really long time and never see those things, but it's a very multicultural country. And we were in Sydney. Campbelltown is just outside Sydney. So that's what, one of the really special things we think about Australia is it's extremely multicultural. People from all over the world. Our children were in a high school that had 1,000 students, and they had a day where they celebrated the multiculturalness. And at one point they had 78 different countries represented in their high school of 1,000 people. So that was a really rich experience growing up for our kids.
That's incredible. Yeah. So what did you learn along the journey watching your children grow up as TCKs?
Oh, well. so much. We did not know about TCKs when we were on the field. And it was the concept wasn't as well known as it is today. And the books weren't written that are written now about TCKs and that we kind of uses our second Bible. But what did I learn? Oh my goodness. The real learning curve came when we moved back from Australia. The kids did great living there. We were very enmeshed in the culture and they went to public schools. That's where we met people to invite to church. That was a lot of our contacts was through the schools. So that was a wonderful experience. We came back once every 3 years. Which is different than the way things are done now. But once every 3 years, we came home only for 8 weeks. That would be different now for missionaries, but that's how we did it then. And so we had a wonderful time with, you know, friends and family when we came back, and the kids love coming back to America to visit. And they felt kind of American, even though they lived in Australia, but people, their friends and people in the school system wouldn't know that they were American until they met my husband and I. The kids were very Australian. And my Australian accent got a little bit stronger than my husband's. So sometimes people didn't know that our kids had any American connection until they met my husband. And then they would say, you know, to the kids funny things like, your dad's a Yank. They call us all Yanks. And but so the experience was very good growing up. Moving back, however, is when we began to learn about TCK challenges. They were all three different ages when they came back. Our oldest daughter came back to go to university, and she was here in university in Oklahoma for 2 years before our family moved back. And then we moved back when our second daughter was ready for university, and our son was 14. And that's when we began to realize the challenges that TCKs have, especially when they enter or re-enter their parents' home country, because they have never, in many cases, lived there. And it's not their home country, it's their parents' home country. So that's when we began to, I began to go to seminars and read books and try to understand kind of some of the challenges they were facing, because we realized there were some serious challenges going on and some things that we were unprepared for. And that's why we're in the ministry we're in today, because we want to prepare families. There are tools and resources and all kinds of things available now, but often families still don't know about them. And so just having those tools and resources available can prevent a lot of sadness and grief and frustration and a lot of things, yeah. Depression, lots of things. They're very high risk when they first come back, can be, the whole family. And so just knowing some of the challenges ahead of time and then being given the tools to deal with them is huge. And that's what we've spent a lot of the last 20 plus years doing, because of our experience and because of what we saw, not just with our own kids, but then with other kids coming back.
Nancy, let's back up just for a second for anybody that might be listening and maybe they're not on the mission field or don't know anybody on the mission field. So they're wondering what TCKs are. Can you explain that?
Yes. TCKs are third culture kids. And it was actually a sociologist, Ruth Hill Yuseem, who came up with that title, that name, many years ago. She was going around the world studying people groups. And she discovered that wherever she went, didn't matter what country, there was this kind of commonality, this common group. And she named them third culture kids. And what that meant is they were kids growing up in a country that's not their parents' home country. So they could be military, missionary, corporate, all kinds of things. And what she discovered was that they had very common characteristics, no matter where they grew up. And that they did not, once they move back to their parents' home culture, they don't lose those characteristics. They keep those. So there's also a term called ATCK, which is adult third culture kid, because what she said, and many people who have studied and researched and written books and done seminars about TCKs since her time, have said that even as adults, third culture people, still have these same characteristics. And one interesting thing is that they bond with each other. Third culture people tend to find each other in a group without even knowing, because they kind of think alike. They think outside the box and they think with a different perspective. So it's interesting, no matter what country they grew up in, they still have these common characteristics because they grew up as third culture kids. We've seen that so much in our work with our university kids and with camp. The way they bond together is very unique and really special. And it's real important that they have some it helps if they have association with other TCKs.
So North Star Academy, I'm not sure if you know, but many of our listeners probably know by now that we were created for Wycliffe missionaries to keep them on the field back in 1998. Yeah. And so when North Star first started, that was all we had were missionary families. And still today, many years later, we have a lot of missionary families that still use us. And so we have a lot of TCKs that are present. So I know that you're going to, you know, bring some of your wisdom that you have learned and how you help students. So just want you to go into that. If we've got some TCKs that are listening, or maybe some on the field that don't even know, you know, like you had no idea. Today, I think it's easier to know. And most mission organizations are probably training their people that way. But still, what do you run into when you meet these students that come off the field?
Some of the kind of main characteristics. One of the things is the surprise when they, often when TCKs come home, they're like our children were, they've come home for furlough or at home time, and they think it's wonderful. They think America is just wonderful. And of course, it doesn't have to be American. It can be any country that's their parents' home country. But today we're talking about mostly ones that have American parents. So they've come home and they think that they know America, but it's a shock to them when they, their expectations of America are a little bit like Disneyland, because when they came home for a visit, of course, all the family made time for them because they weren't going to be here very long and they lived so far away. People made time for them, gave them special gifts, did special things for them. There was probably no school going on if they were here, you know, for a short time. And so they kind of get that in their mind that that's what America is going to be like. When I've written about this, I've said it's like Flyville in American Tale, when the mice are all singing on the boat on the way coming over. There are no cats in America and the streets are paved with cheese. And TCKs really relate to that because they think they know this place that they're coming to live. But they, when they get here, family doesn't have as much time for them because, you know, Americans are busy and we're all in our normal life and they're going to be here a while. They're going to live here now. So, they find people don't have as much time. And they also find that they don't really know this culture. They thought they did because their parents are American, but, they start to school or church or, you know, youth group, all those things. And they find that they don't really know this culture. But the tricky part is once they get here, they look and sound American. So they're sitting in a classroom and they look and sound like everyone else, most likely, but they don't know all the inside jokes. They don't know about the culture. They make cultural mistakes, but they don't know they're making cultural mistakes. So it becomes really awkward. And most statistics say that, you shouldn't move a child between the ages of, 13 and 18. And part of that is because, or 13 and 16 specifically, those are the most at-risk ages. And that may be changing, but because they're forming an identity at that stage, they don't have it formed. So Dave Pollack, who wrote the TCK book, says that up till age 13, you learn a culture. And then after age 13, you apply that culture. So what happens to these kids if they come back at the ages of 13, 14, 15, they're applying a culture that doesn't fit. And so they make these cultural mistakes and people, especially their peers, just cross them off as being weird. Because if they looked different, if they looked like they were from another country, if they looked like they just, you know, come here from Japan or something, they might get some special treatment and people would think, oh, they don't really know what they're doing. They don't understand the culture. But the tricky part for third culture kids is they often do look and sound just like everybody else that they really don't understand. One TCK described it as being like a bull in a china closet. And he said that 10 years after his return, as he learned things about the American culture that he didn't know 10 years prior, he felt like he needed to go back and make a lot of apologies to people because he had offended them or hurt their feelings or just done awkward things that at the time he had no idea. And so he was kind of saying, I need to go back and apologize because now I get it. But sadly, what often happens with these kids is they make these mistakes. And especially if they're teenagers and kind of at an awkward stage anyway, then their peers just kind of cross them off as that weird, awkward kid. At a time when they need friendships more than ever and they're trying to figure things out, they just kind of get left behind. So they're pretty high risk in those first few months.
Can you tell us more of maybe like a common cultural mistake that, you know, many kids make?
Yeah, I'll tell you one of our famous ones from one of our TCK alumni from OC. He's from the Philippines. He always tells this story that he went into the cafeteria at our university and he saw people getting the cafeteria trays. And then he also saw them getting the plates and putting them on the trays. But someone said to him, the trays are washed just like the plates. They're just washed in the same equipment as the plates. So they're just as clean. So in his mind from the Philippines, you shouldn't waste water or the equipment. So he just went through the line and put his spaghetti straight on his tray. And of course, when he sat down with the other students in the cafeteria, they thought he was pretty weird. Mm-hmm. Another TCK from South Africa said that he pulled up to a gas station, which he would call a petrol station. And the man in the petrol station, gas station, didn't come out to service his car. And he thought, this is really rude. And so he sat and he looked at the man inside, and the man still didn't come out. So he just kind of stared him down. The man didn't come out. So finally he honked at the man and waved to come out, because in South Africa at that time, they didn't have self-serve like we do all over the U.S. now. So lots of things like that. I also heard my son telling jokes at church, and he was 14, and he had always been really funny. He's got a real wit, and he was really good at memorizing jokes and telling jokes, and that's something he was known for in Australia. So I heard him at church one night. I just happened to be sitting there, and a lot of the youth were around, and he told a joke, but when he got to the punchline, it had one meaning in Australia, but another meaning in America, the word that he used. And he didn't know that. And they didn't know that, you know, the word he was using was Australian. And I kind of translated, because nobody laughed. And so I kind of stepped in and kind of, you know, translated that what that meant is, and he wasn't going to tell any more jokes. Because if you're a 14-year-old boy and you've had that response, then something that maybe you've been really good at, you just stop. So I guess, and one other thing is they, TCKs tend to, they want to talk about the place they've come from because they're in grief. They've just left home, and they want to talk about that, but that can be a real put off to their peers if they've just left South Africa, and they're always talking about South Africa, but you know, they're in a town in Texas and those kids have never been to South Africa and they don't want to hear about that. And this is a real example I'm giving from a real student. And that's a real put off for their peers. And it's not that they don't want to be happy here. They're still grieving. And that's a big thing that we deal with our TCKs, is the grief factor.
That's good. That's really, really good, clear examples. That made me think that some students might be listening that have met TCKs online at North Star. You know, because we have students from over 90 countries. And so we might have students in America that meet some students that are on the mission field over there, or maybe they just came back to America. So what are some recommendations you can give for students that have lived their whole life in America, but they're trying to befriend someone else? How can they be sensitive to that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, one is just recognizing. I sometimes do presentations for teachers to recognize if they have a TCK in their classroom. And so it's such a good question, because often, you know, the students and people just, they don't even recognize, like I said, because these kids have they often have the accent of their parents. So they just look and sound like everybody else. So one thing is to know, one thing I always say is, if you're trying to befriend a TCK, just be so patient, because they may talk about the place they just left, and that just means they're in grief and they're trying to deal with the loss of leaving that place behind. And when we're in grief, you know, when someone dies, the way we deal with the grief often is to talk about that person. And so TCKs are talking about their home country just because it's important to them, and they're grieving that. And so we have to be patient, because we have to give them some time to grieve. And one way we can help them is to listen to those stories, to listen to where they came from. And they won't talk about it all their life that much, but at first they kind of need to do that. And but it can be offensive, you know, if it sounds like they don't like this place. And it's not that. It's just that they're trying to figure out this place, but they're still really grieving the place they left behind. And one thing that they deal with in this grief is divided loyalty. Many, many of our TCKs, I've heard say this in different ways, but they feel like if they begin to get really happy here, that they are being disloyal to the place they left behind. And so they often fight being content and happy here because they don't want to let go of something that was so, so precious to them. And so they fight this divided loyalty thing. And when they get some tools and when they can be with other TCKs and some of the things we help them do at camp, helps them kind of come to grips with that and learn that it's okay to be happy both places. And there are good things and bad things about both places. But sometimes that takes a long time to come to that point. So when you first meet a TCK who's just come back, it's good to know they're dealing with grief and they're dealing with divided loyalty. They're also dealing with an identity crisis. Who am I? Quite often, like I said, they've thought that maybe they were American, that they were just American living in this other place, even though they loved this other place and felt at home and felt a part of it. They felt like a part of them was American. But when they get here, and America has a lot of surprises for them, and it's not really what it was when they came home on home assignment or furlough. So their expectations are not their friend. They had all these expectations that are not met. And so they, some of our TCKs have said, it's not that I didn't like America. It's just that I was so confused and I was trying to still be loyal to the other place. So it came across as not liking this, but I just needed time to process it all. And so when you're friends with a TCK, you'll see all those stages. And one of the things we try to do to help TCKs is to get through the grief stages, to recognize them, acknowledge them, and to get through that in a really healthy way so they don't get stuck in one of those stages.
Do you have some advice you would give teachers, students, and parents to help with the grief process?
Yes. Well, one is to read the book, Third Culture Kids. It's in its third printing. It's essential. We just call that the TCK Bible. And they actually have chapters specifically for counselors, teachers, youth ministers, and parents, and TCKs themselves. It's for everybody. And it's a masterpiece. It's just a must. Again, just patience, because they do need to deal with the grief and to acknowledge it. Okay, so here's something that happens. It's when TCKs come home, and in the old days, they got to meet them at the airport, but wherever the family meets them, and you're the aunt, the grandmother, the cousin, the friend who's been waiting for this family to come home, and you greet them at the airport or at the church building or, you know, wherever you greet them, of course, your first thing to say is probably, welcome home, or we're so glad you're home. And that can be really confusing and difficult for a TCK who just got off of a plane where they left home. And maybe they've left a home that they've lived for 10 or 12 or 14 years, maybe their whole life. And so welcome home, as Dave Pollack used to say, one of the authors of the TCK book, he said, I don't feel like home and I don't feel glad. Or doesn't mean that you'll never feel that way, but at that moment, they're not feeling that way. However, how does a TCK, how does a 14-year-old TCK say that to a grandmother who's crying and hugging and just so, so, so happy to have her grandson home, or to a friend? And if he does say that, then it's offensive to them. If he doesn't say that, then he just has to internalize all these deep, deep, deep feelings of grief. And so one of the things that we deal with is called unresolved grief. And that's what makes it unresolved grief. There's no place to share that. So one of the things we do at our camp in the summer and with our university group is help them to acknowledge and identify and have a safe place to share that grief. And we actually have a grief ceremony. We have a day where we talk about grief and we talk about the different ways that people experience grief. And then we have a ceremony where we have each of the campers write down all their losses and the things that they're grieving. And then we used to tie that piece of paper to a balloon. We don't do that anymore for environmental reasons, but we tied those to helium-filled balloons. And then one by one, as each TCK was ready, they go out in front of the group and they release their balloon. And then the whole group watches that balloon until it's completely gone. And then the next person goes. And then afterwards, there's a lot of tears and there's a lot of hugging. But there's also a huge relief because they've been able to identify that grief. And by acknowledging it, they can give it the honor that it's due. It's real. And those things they're grieving are real. And they need a place where everyone understands that grief and that it's not saying, I don't want to be here and I don't love you. It's just saying, I've lost some things. Because quite often parents will try to help a TCK who's feeling sad by saying, oh, but isn't it? Actually, I did this. I won't just say any parent. I did this when our 14-year-old son was grieving when we came home. I said, oh, but just think how lucky you are. You got to live in Australia all those years. And how many of your American friends would love to live in Australia? And how many of your Australian friends would love to live in America? You know, here you are. And I was very wrong in doing that, but that's what a lot of parents do. I was trying to make it okay when really I just needed to sit and cry with my son because it was sad. And so letting them be sad and acknowledge and walking through that grief with them rather than just trying to cover it up or make it go away.
That's just great advice overall for parents, especially
yeah,
now.
You're right. Yeah, you're
what's
right.
happening yeah. on just sitting, sometimes just sitting with your kids and just being there, crying yes. with them, maybe yeah. praying with them, but just being. So yeah, that's good. And I'm really enjoying talking to you because it just seems it's making more sense. Just hearing, you know, your examples and everything. One thing I want to do is, I mean, you kind of said to your, you know, your child about you're so lucky you got to live in Australia, but there are some amazing things. I mean, when you get to travel, all the things that you learn and you see and the experiences. So there are so much incredible wisdom, I'm sure, and just amazing qualities that TCKs have. So I don't want to overlook that though. Do you want to speak to that?
Yes. Well, because one thing that I tell teachers and youth ministers is if you have a TCK in your midst, you have a treasure. And if you can help them to process by letting them talk about the places they've been and the things they've seen. And when our daughter came back from university, she was in an honors class. And she would find when they were having a discussion on most topics, she had a completely different perspective than the other students. And she kind of got a little embarrassed about that. She's pretty confident and can be, you know, outspoken, and she's very articulate. But, and so she began to think, oh, maybe I need to not speak so much because my opinion is always different or my perspective. But her teacher, bless him, was such a good man. And he said, no, he said, Heidi, you need to share those things. That's exactly the perspective we need to hear. And I want you to speak out on these topics. It's valuable. And that's something that teachers and parents can do is acknowledge the difference and let the students share those really special experiences they've had and things that they've learned. Like I said, it helps them process, but also it can help the other students if it's valued. And sometimes it's just overlooked or ignored or not even acknowledged. But if it can be acknowledged, that TCKs have a really, really important perspective in today's world to share. And if we can find creative ways to let them share that, they'll be healthier and we'll be able to learn a lot as well.
Yeah, that's so good. For anybody that might be interested in the reentry workshops and the camps and stuff you do, do you want to tell them how to find out about that?
Yes, we have a camp every summer. This will be our 15th year. The website is oc.edu/globalreunion. OC stands for Oklahoma Christian. That's the university campus where our camp is held. The camp is, we started in 2006 with, we were going to do a camp for ages 13 and up. And at the end of that camp, the children said, Would you please do this camp for our parents? They need this too. So we began a camp also concurrently for the, so it's in the same place, same time. The parents have a camp, the kids have a camp. And then after a few years, the parents said, would you please do this camp for our younger children, ages 5 to 12? So we now have 3 camps running parallel. It's a week long. And we just deal with, we found all the ages have a lot of same issues. They all have things to say. And even the 5 to 12 year olds have a lot of things to deal with. And then the parent, then the activities are all separate, except for when they're not. We do bring them together for some activities together. The young children, the ages 5 to 12, stay with the parents in the dormitory. And they have to be in reentry, the ages 5 to 12. The older, the teenagers, ages 13 and up, they're allowed to come to camp when they're still on the field so that they're just preparing for reentry and for TCK issues. We found that was a little confusing for the 5 to 12 year olds. If you had an 8 year old sitting there who just left Africa and was never going back, and then you had another one who's going back next week, it didn't work. So in the 5 to 12 year olds, in order to come to camp at that age, they have to have reentered the US. And their parents have to be there with them.
That's so good. Fabulous ministry. I know it has to be so incredible for you to be a part of so many families' lives. And so thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the many years you've invested on the field yourself and now to so many families. As we're wrapping up, is there anything else that you would like to share?
I just repeat, read the book, the TCK book. It's Third Culture Kids Growing Up Among Worlds. It's available on Amazon, has been out for many years. And Ruth Van Rieken and Dave Pollack, when they wrote the book, just wanted to give language to TCKs and to give understanding to people. And it's just a must. It's such an important book. And I think just, again, just to love them and be patient with them and realize that, that it is a thing. They do have some challenges. Everybody has some people have moves or they have things that they grieve over. But what happens to TCKs when they move back to their parents' home culture is just so many of those things come together at one time. When they're trying to learn a culture and they're in the midst of, you know, a bit of chaos with their family. And like I said, when they have these expectations and they're trying to hold on to the other place and they can't figure out their identity and all of that wrapped in this whole new culture where they're making mistakes. It's just a really treacherous time. And I feel like the reason we think it's so important to give them tools and have, if teachers and youth ministers and friends, if just one person can come alongside them and be patient with them and listen to them and understand them, they can make it through that and they can thrive. And they have so much to offer to today's world, today's multicultural world, that we need what they have to offer. But if they get lost in the grief and the identity, then we lose a valuable resource. And also, I guess I didn't mention, but you know, TCKs are the ones to reach out to refugees and immigrants, and they have a lot of the same issues. And they can just be such an amazing resource for those people. TCKs can be really good at seeing people on the outside and bringing them in and understanding, but we just have to help them be strong and have their own kind of stuff together so they're able to reach out to other people. And that's why it's important to give them these tools.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed having you on and really appreciate your wisdom and sharing with us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.